agreed to start this time off, but I want the rest of you to be thanking and to be able to answer the question, how has Jesus changed my life? And if you, so that we can get through as many as we can, what we need you to do is go ahead and come on over on this side over here, and then you'll be able to come right up here, and we won't be waiting for you to get up here. So if you're going to share with us how Jesus has changed your life, will you just line yourself up along this wall over here, and then we'll call you right up. So here's Rosa and her husband Juan, and they are going to share with us this morning. So Rosa.
Good morning, Hope Church. We are very thankful and excited to be here today. My name is Rosa, and this is my husband, Juan. And Juan is going to be sharing with you all and reflecting on how God has changed his life. And is going to be referencing 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
And I ask you to do that also in Spanish. Can you do that in Spanish? Because we would need to be reminded, this isn't just for the people who speak English, right? This is for all people, all nations, all tribes, everywhere. Here we go.
De modo que si alguno está en Cristo, nueva criatura es. Las cosas viejas pasaron, y aquí todas son hechas nuevas.
Good morning, Hope Church. This is my life. When I was growing up, I grew up in a family who they used to go to church. And I used to go to church with them every Sunday or every other Sunday. And I actually grew up and I was very up in the street, drinking, partying, not caring that much for nobody, just caring for myself. But I met this beautiful woman God put in my way, and I'm a proud dad of four young kids. And the way Jesus changed my life, it was in a beautiful way, because I used to drink a lot. I wasn't really a great husband, a great father, because I was just thinking about what the earth was giving me more than what Jesus and my family wanted for me. So one night, I come home like around 1 or 2 in the morning, very drunk, very drunk. And I have a boy, his name is Abraham. He's actually 2 years old at that time. And I always wanted a boy. He's that special kid in my life, that special diamond God gave to me. And I come home that night. When I left my wife crying. And he actually comes to me and tells me, when I grow up, I want to be like you. I want to go out with you, drinking, partying, and doing the things you do. That's when I felt like a mock truck just came and hit me. Boom! I'm like, I don't want this for my kid. I don't want this for him. I want the best for him. And that's what Jesus came and just hit me really hard. So that night I went to bed and I woke up like a Ferrari, like a Lamborghini, waking up my wife. Man, we got to go to church. We got to go get Jesus ASAP, because I do not want this for Abraham. I want Abraham to know that the God that the Israel people serve is powerful. He's mighty, and yeah, he'll come one day for all of us, yeah, because he has a lot to give to each and one of us on here on earth. This is only temporary. Yeah. And believe it or not, what God has for each and one of you is more bigger than what you can imagine.
That's right.
And it's way more powerful than what we can see. Yeah. Church Hope, God bless you. And believe it or not, Jesus has something special for each and one of you. God bless you all.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Bud Beach, and as I look back on my life, it's been thousands of broken pieces, relationally, work life, financially. Just so much has happened in my life, starting at age 12 when I had a baseball accident that about killed me, and fast forward 40 plus years, a few years ago, something surfaced, resurfaced from that to make a long story short, gave me a blood clot in my right leg, massive pulmonary embolisms in my lungs, among a number of other things that happened. Over the past 5 or 6 years, my life fell apart in every way you could possibly imagine. Relationally, financially, all kinds of health issues that came up, many things in addition to that. And I very much likened myself to Job in many ways through that time period. But through all of it, I remained faithful, and I never questioned God as to why these things were happening in my life, because He's used me many times throughout the years. And now, over this past year, God brought me back to Rhode Island. I am healed. Praise God. And my life has now changed such that I can stand here before you, and all those broken pieces have come together, and the puzzle is now formed. And I came back, and God has put a calling on my life. And a couple of years ago, He laid it on my heart to write a book, and I've started writing it. It's entitled, God, What Is This Life? Which tries to answer those questions that all of us ask at some point in our lives. You know, why do the things happen that do to each of us? Why do bad things happen to good people, and good things happen to bad people, and on the questions go. But you know, all of it, I've come to realize in my own life that it's all what makes us who we are, to become relatable to other people, to be able to share so much more. I've come across so many situations where I was able to minister into somebody's life because of those things that have happened. And I praise God for it. I came back to Rhode Island, and I, because of all the broken relationships I've had in my life, I prayed, Lord, do you want me to continue following your calling on my life alone? Or do you want me to do this with somebody else? And I said, if you do, I said, I've made so many poor decisions, you're going to have to drop an angel in front of me. And God has done that, coming back to Rhode Island. As a matter of fact, Rick will be marrying us this April upcoming. So I praise God for everything.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Doug.
Hi, most of you people know me, and most of you know that I don't need a mic. What Jesus did for me was He didn't answer my prayer. I kept praying, God, change these people around me. They're miserable. So one day, just a few years ago, He got to me and He said, you know, they don't have to change it. You have to change. And then after you change, maybe they'll change. So He changed me. And because He changed my attitude, and I now have some extremely good friends, some people that I love and I like, and people that are really I'm close to. And the big thing is, every day I get an awesome blessing from them. And it's really tremendous. So that's what Jesus did.
Amen. That's good. That's great. Thank you for sharing that. Kimberly?
I know Pastor Rick's going to love this one because he's part of it.
No. I'm our God.
Hi, my name's Kim. And what I want to share with you is that I had the honor by Jesus Christ to become a foster mother to my niece, my godchild, on my mother's birthday, 11/25/2019, right before COVID hit. I also am a military daughter, and I was a little leery, though, about being a foster mother because of DCYF, and her dad was a military cop. But I will lay down my life for anyone if I feel Jesus is involved. And I prayed about it, and I just did it. And I wasn't worried about any consequences, good, bad. I felt I was doing what was right, and being right is more important than how it all lays out. I also was called to be an essential worker in New York and Springfield. Very briefly, in Springfield, I had I got to be support to three different mothers. One mother in a store that I covered, her child had OD'd and passed away. Another store, well, the same store, another lady's son had the same birthday as my son. His life was taken. In a third store, Indian Orchard down the street, a girl passed in the store. So I had all these situations going on. Never once did I lose my faith in Jesus Christ. So now, speeding up to now, when I was coming to this church, I was thinking about it because my friend Beth came, and I'm like, I don't know. This voice spoke to me when I was in West Warwick, and it said, come down the street to the church, babe. I'm waiting for you. I'm like, babe. Like, I'm like, would Jesus call me babe? Well, I'm going to read a quick little paper with a couple of lines because I came to this church because Beth V, and I'm going to end with this, a fireman named Rick, in the meantime, gave me the Armor of God coin, which is in my pocket, which I had said to Beth. She read the Armor of God to me from the Bible and said, Pastor Rick was talking about the Armor of God the next day, so I think you belong to my church. So I came, and I'm going to end with this. I met a woman, Kathleen, and we did the Growing in Christ book. We just completed it. I'll link you. That would help. We just completed the Growing in Christ book. And I was like, why would God call me babe? It's right in the book. Page 3, introduction. You have become a child of God and born into his family as a spiritual babe. You have the potential to live the rest of your life in victorious obedience to God. It is our desire to share with you a few simple truths that will strengthen you and keep you safe from the onslaughts of Satan. That is why I know I'm here and I'm blessed by God. Thank you.
Thank you, Kendra. Good. James? Hurry.
Is your heart beating on your chest? Hello, I'm James. And I did my testimony not long ago up here, so I don't want to run through the whole thing, of course. I have 20 minutes, you said?
You've got about 20 seconds.
Okay.
20 seconds.
But I want to talk about something very specific that changed the whole game for me. And I couldn't read the Bible to save my life, my whole life. I'd read, you know, the first page of Genesis because it sounded good. And I'd read the book of James, the first page, because it's my name. So I was like, yeah, I read the Bible, you know. And I just couldn't read it. I could not read it. And but I know that it's something that I needed to do. And a brother of Christ of mine put a one-year Bible in my hands. And I started to read it. And I stumbled across Matthew 4:4. That says, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word out of the mouth of God. And it hit me so hard, I said, you know, I eat like 11 times a day. I don't know about you. But, you know, so, but my spiritual self was skinny because, you know, I don't read, you know, and I realized how important and key that is. So I ended up getting through the word in like 6 months. I did not rush through it, as I've been told, you know, but no, I read, you know, made sure that I read it front to back. And this is someone that couldn't read the Bible to save his life, you know, and but God helped me get through it by the Holy Spirit. And I just want to say that if anyone struggles with reading it, specifically, that is what will make the biggest difference, is just getting into the Word every day, you know, multiple times a day. And with doing that, it has changed every aspect of my life. And I know that we're doing baptisms today, and I'm reminded that the person that, this was a year ago, the person that went down is completely gone, but it's because of God's Word.
That's right.
So
that's good. That's good, James. Okay. Thank you for sharing that with us. That's great. So what we want to do this morning is wrap up this teaching series that this changes everything, because Jesus really does change everything. I'm so glad you got to hear the stories firsthand for yourself and how Jesus actually changes lives. And we have a shorter time this morning, so take your Bibles and go to Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10, here's what I want you to do, and I need all of you to do this with me, and all of you online, all of you in South County, I need you to imagine with me. Imagine with me you're going into that 3D movie. Have you been to a 3D movie, right? And you have those 3D glasses, but you forgot to put them on. You're looking at the screen, and you're like, it doesn't look right. And then you remembered, oh, I don't have the 3D glasses on, and you put the 3D glasses on. And then the screen comes alive. It's like, you know, things are coming out of the screen at you, and it's like you're right there in the center of it. Remember, take your 3D glasses off and set them to the side. We're going to come back to that. Here's the idea. The big idea that we're going to see in Hebrews chapter 10 this morning is this. A gospel-centered person focuses on what they do have, not what they don't have. And to be clear, a gospel-centered person is this. A gospel means the good news. Gospel means that you have taken the gospel, the good news that Jesus actually paid a sin debt that you could never pay. A gospel-centered person is one who acknowledges that they need a Savior because of their sin, because they're guilty of their sin. But you don't have to pay that. You can accept what Jesus did on the cross in His suffering, in His death, and in His burial, and in His resurrection. And a gospel-centered person understands that. That's what a gospel-centered person is. A Jesus-centered person, a gospel-centered person is one who focuses on what they do have. They're thankful for what they do have, not on what they don't have. And what we're going to see starting right here in verse number 1 is what we have to be thankful for. So verse number 1 says this. The old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come, not the good things themselves. So just halfway through the verse, we already see the teacher in Hebrews referring back to this Old Testament, the old way that they used to worship before Jesus came. But remember, Jesus came, that changed everything. So they were saying that the old way that we worshiped was actually just pointing. It was a shadow of what was going to come, what was going to change in the person of Jesus. Let's finish the verse. The sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. Did you catch that? That under the old way, there was no perfect cleansing. And so under the new way, under the way that changes everything, under Jesus' way, we get to experience perfect cleansing. And that's why a gospel-centered person is thankful for what we do have in Christ. We are thankful for this perfect cleansing, that you and I are actually washed clean. A brand new start. The slate has been wiped clean. We are blameless, without a spot. That's something to be thankful for. And sometimes gospel-centered people forget that. But this is huge. Let's go on. Verse number 4. For it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. The second thing that we see here is that we get a gospel-centered person is thankful for the forgiveness of sin. A gospel-centered person is thankful for what we do have in Christ, and we have the perfect cleansing, and we also have a forgiveness of sin. Stop and think about the forgiveness of sin. Stop the guilt that you are carrying because of what you did. You know, we have guilt. Guilt is action-oriented. But then comes along shame. Shame for living in that identity. You have now taken on the identity for what you have been guilty for. But somebody who is a gospel-centered person is thankful that they don't have to carry the guilt and the shame that their sin has brought to them. That all has been forgiven. Do you know that gospel-centered people should be some of the most forgiving people there are in the entire planet, because you have been forgiven. So you are able to forgive others. We have so much to be thankful for. Continue on in verse number 9. And then he said, look, I have come to do your will. This is a look back at Psalms chapter 40. The teacher in Hebrews is quoting Psalms chapter 40. But notice what the Hebrew teacher does. He says he cancels, meaning Jesus. Jesus cancels that old covenant. He cancels that first covenant in order to put a second covenant into effect. For God's will was for us to be made what? Holy. By the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all time. It took the body, the literal body sacrifice of Jesus so that we could actually be made holy. So, coming back to our point, a gospel-centered person is thankful for what we do have in Christ. We have perfect cleansing. We have forgiveness of sin. And Jesus sees you, or God the Father sees you as holy. Take out your 3D glasses and put them back on again. Because some of you are like, I've seen the screen. I know what I did last night. I know what I did last week. I know what I did last month or 6 months ago or a year ago. And I am not blameless. There is so much sin in my life. I remember my sin. And holy? I'm not holy. But then you're through your 3D glasses. This is how God views you. God's 3D glasses is Jesus. And God views you through the lens of Jesus. And when He views you through the lens of Jesus, He sees you as perfectly cleansed. He sees you as forgiven from all of your sins. So you don't have to carry the guilt. You don't have to carry the shame or live in that shame. And you are actually holy in the sight of God. But that's not all. Look what else happens. For in verse number 14, for by that one offering, He forever made perfect those who are being made holy. This is that process of transformation, that process of sanctification inside of us. So, a gospel-centered person is thankful for what we do have in Christ. We have perfect cleansing. We have forgiveness of sins. We have holiness, that we are actually holy in the sight of God through the lens of Jesus. And we have transformation. And that's the stories that we have heard. That's the stories we're going to see in baptism this morning. And we're going to continue to hear more of these stories. So what? So what for the Christ-centered person? If every Christ-centered person could start their day off remembering what you do have in Christ instead of saying, well, I wish I had that other job. I wish I had that house. I wish I could go on that vacation. I wish I would had that person for my relationship. If every person could instead start your day off, every Christ-centered person could be thankful for what you do have in Christ, that will change everything in your life. And that's not all. Look what he says. He goes on and he say, we're wrapping up with this. Let us hold tightly without wavering. So, you know, imagine your hands gripped tight. He's like, the teacher in Hebrews is saying, hold tight to this truth, to these truths. What? To the hope that we affirm. What's the hope that we affirm? The hope that we affirm is that there's a perfect cleansing, that there's forgiveness of sin, that you are actually holy in the sight of God, and that there's actually ongoing transformation happening, that you're not the same last week that you are this week because of the transformation that God is doing in your life. Let us hold tightly to that. But what do we do with that? He tells us what to do with that. He says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. That's what we do with that. You see, for the Christ-centered person, living from a posture of thankfulness changes everything. And it changes the way that you interact with your boss. It changes the way that you interact at school with your teachers or with your peers. It changes the way that you interact with those hard-to-love people because you're living from a place of, I am thankful for this. And you are looking for ways to motivate them, to invite them into, to live a life like you are living. And this kind of life, the life that you are living, is one of forgiveness. One where you have perfect cleansing. One where you are actually holy in the sight of God. One where there's ongoing transformation. All of that for the Christ follower. So this leads us to our next step. Our very first next step says this: pray, I will become more gospel-centered in my life, being thankful for what I do have in Jesus Christ. Will you let us pray for you like that? Will you intentionally start your day out being thankful for what you do have in Jesus? Will you let us know that by giving us your name on the connection card on Tuesday when our team meets? We'll pray for you by name. And here's what I'm asking from you. Will you pray for me in that way? Will you pray that I will live from a posture of thankfulness for what I do have in Jesus? And instead of looking around and pointing at all the things that I don't have. Maybe you're here today and you would acknowledge you're not a gospel-centered person. You have never taken that step. You have never acknowledged your need for a Savior. Well, today could be the day where that changes for you. What if today you acknowledge? That's what the other next step on the connection card is for. It says, pray for me. I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. If that is you, will you, again, give us your name on that connection card, or if you're online or through the church app, just give us your name, because on Tuesday we're going to pray for you. And if you check off this next step and you give us your name and your phone number, we want to give you a call and walk you through what this actually looks like in your life. I want to pray for us this morning. Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for every Christ-centered person, every gospel-centered person that's here today or in South County. Thank you for each one of them, everyone that's online. God, we're so thankful for them. But Jesus, I know it's so easy to drift, to forget our thankfulness and all that we actually do have in Christ. And so, Jesus, we are praying. We are praying that you'll help us, help me, help all of us to live from this posture of thankfulness for everything that we do have in you. And Jesus, if there's a person in the room or a person online or a person at South County, we are praying for them today that if they're not gospel-centered, that you would call them, that you would help them to take that step for their life. We need you. Holy Spirit, come and work, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.